Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And as you know, on the Scream Verdict podcast, we love a good competition. We've had a few good competitions on the podcast, one even involving Matt and myself in our amazing Apprentice board game challenge. You'll have to listen to that to see who wins. Matt, we've got another showdown this week.
Yes. Now, those devotees of the Scream Verdict podcast,
of which there are many.
May remember way back when we did a HBO Girls vs. Veep showdown. The two new HBO comedies went head-to-head in our reviews, and it was a bit of a Veep sweep. A bit of a Veep... Oh, sorry, spoil our podcast, but anyway, Veep won.
I feel like we would have been referencing that. We would have been forced to reference that at some point throughout this podcast.
Okay, that's good. So Veep won the showdown. So we did it. It got its own podcast the next year. Although so did Girls. So, but we thought there's a new HBO show on the scene. A new lead out for Veep. It's a comedy. It's Silicon Valley. And we thought, you know what? It's time for HBO Comedy Showdown Round 2, carryover reigning champ, Veep, taking on the new kids on the block, Silicon Valley.
Put them in a ring, the reigning, defending, undisputed, undefeated champion in Veep up against the startup show for HBO about startups in Silicon Valley. So for those of you who don't know what Silicon Valley is about, it is a show where this college dropout who's living in this house with a bunch of other... Is it fair to just call them nerds? Should we be more specific than calling them nerds?
No, I think nerds is fair. They're like, you know, computers and things.
They're programmers and they're trying to come up with... Basically make an app or a website or something like that. Trying to be the next Mark Zuckerberg, the next... Whoever Justin Timberlake played in the Zuckerberg movie.
Mr. Twitter.
And so basically, it's a comedy shedding a bit of light in this on this industry, the sort of location of Silicon Valley outside San Francisco, the culture of that. And would you say it's fair to call this a bro comedy? It's just a bunch of dudes in a house making fun of each other, trying to make some money in this kind of weird industry.
Yeah, I think so. I'd heard it's sort of like a nerdy version of Entourage before I started to watch it. I guess when we get to verdicts and stuff, I can say how fair an assessment I think that is. But, you know, that's sort of what I was expecting going in.
And that's going up against season 3 of Veep. So Veep's already had 2 seasons. If you haven't seen the show, we'll tell you what it's about. But I think we will be talking about what happens in season 3. This season is a bit hard to address without... Some of those, because it's a little bit more plot-driven this season.
So, spoiler alert for Veep.
Spoiler alert. In advance.
But not for Silicon Valley. We won't spoil that.
So, yes, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she plays the vice president, and it's created by Amanda Iannucci, who we are big fans of from doing the Thick of It and In the Loop, and it's this political comedy showing the inner workings of, well, not the White House, because she's the vice president, but how the politicians interact and talk with each other and basically pick it apart for our enjoyment.
It's pretty funny.
Do we want to start with Veep? Is it the champion's honor? It goes first?
Okay.
So as I alluded to, this season of Veep is, I think, a little bit more plot-driven. I think there's been some on-running things previously, but I think you could watch it episode to episode and not be missing out on too much. But this season, Selena Meyer, or Myers, I feel like that's a Matt Noble kind of mistake to make. after thinking that she might actually just quit politics, learns that the president is not going to be really running. So she's got to start planning her campaign, but it's sort of got to be a secret because she can't let out that the president's not going to run ahead of time. And she's got the crack team behind her of lead press guy Mike, the soulless, heartless, up-and-coming lead press guy wannabe Dan, and I guess his nemesis in a way, Amy. They're always competing for that position, trying to make the other one look bad in front of Selena. And then Gary, who is sort of her right-hand bagman. He's the most die-hard supporter of Selena, the one that is the most loyal, but the one who gets treated the worst.
Yes. Won an Emmy last year, Tony Hale.
Yeah.
That's cool. So did you like watching her plan a campaign and campaign, Jonathan? Because that was a big focus of this season.
I did like it because there was a little bit more of a direction, so I was a bit more invested in what was going to happen. And you have this funny balance between, they're not completely hopeless. Like, I think Dan's actually very clever, and some of his manipulation of Jonah and some of the other characters I found really, really entertaining. But they are a bit of a ragtag team of screw-ups. Like, Selena wouldn't really make the best president. This isn't quite on the level of a Jed Bartlett in terms of
no.
television presidents.
Are you more confident in her being president now than you would have been if there was season one, though? Like, I feel like she's a bit more confident than she was in season one.
Marginally. But as much as I enjoy watching some of the things go well, it is pretty entertaining when things blow up in their faces. When Selena's getting made fun of on Saturday Night Live, and she's getting roasted by Ryantology and embarrassing herself in front of the former Finnish Prime Minister.
That Finnish Prime Minister's a card. Like, she's great.
And so I guess with all these blunders, some of the other side characters have to step up, like Ben, who I believe, was he the president's chief of staff?
Yeah.
Well, I guess now that he knows that the president is going to be stepping down, he sort of gravitates towards helping Selena. And he's a pretty funny character because he's just so miserable. Pretty much everything that happens just makes him want to kill himself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of typical of Veep, because Veep is not afraid to go to some pretty dark places. Like, some of the humor is pretty black.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but when Jonah is really sad, someone goes, "Should put that guy on suicide watch?" And the person goes, "Yeah, make sure he goes through with it."
Oh, man. Very sharp. The writing this season has not taken a step back. There have been a lot of very, very sharp, witty moments, which I think is probably the best thing about Veep. Just the insults. Like, that guy's useless. He's a one-inch cock. Just little things like that you would just get repeatedly throughout the episode. They rattle them off fantastically. And Kent, the robot, the stat man. He's a pretty funny character because he's so ruthless and he doesn't seem to have a heart or a soul, but it seems like he's fallen in love with Sue.
Yeah.
And her constant rejections of any of his advances is pretty funny because it's like, two people having this, like, emotional tug of war between two people that have no emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. They also go to England on the campaign. That's sort of interesting.
Danny Wa!
Yeah. Danny Wa! I was expecting more, maybe, the thick of it people to pop up in the England episode.
Hmm.
Like, not playing their characters from the thick of it, but just...
Yeah, we talked about when it was revealed who the president was, what the actor could be playing that would be, and we also mentioned that if we ever got to meet some of the British characters, maybe say there's the British Prime Minister, we were hoping for Peter Capaldi from the thick of it, and that episode was the perfect time to give us a dose of Peter Capaldi, but it's not to be.
He's too big now with Doctor Who. As Doctor Who is, means he's too good for Armando Iannucci now. To be fair, I don't, just so we don't set the internet ablaze. That's just me speculating. I don't have any solid intel on Peter Capaldi saying he's too good for Armando Iannucci. I would hate to start a vicious online rumour.
Yeah, way to, like, burn the ladder that got you to Doctor Who.
Just see it tomorrow, the front page of, like, I don't know, some trashy paper like the Daily Telegraph, like, you know, reports Capaldi slams Veep creator.
Well, it works for Katherine Heigl, dumping all the things that she worked on.
Yeah.
People love her.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen? Is that a bit too? No, I'm sure Capaldi loves Armando Iannucci still and will come to the aid when Armando writes a part for him.
So other than not getting any Peter Capaldi, we did get some pretty funny storylines, like Dan trying to leak the fact that Chung, an opponent of Zelina's, had possibly been involved in some torturing while in Iraq.
Yeah.
Mm. He played Jonah extremely well in that episode. Speaking of Jonah, Jonah's always been one of my favourite characters, but I think he was perhaps even better this season.
I agree, actually, but I do...
Well, Matt, it didn't sound like you agreed, so explain.
I missed having him in the White House. I loved him being the president's, like, the voice of the president. Like, I thought that was really funny. So I sort of thought he was a bit like, I don't know if I preferred him when he had less restraint, but definitely, like, it gave him opportunities to be a bit more crazy and, like, was better for the actor.
I liked it. I thought they had a lot of fun with it. The Ryantology website, I thought was great. I think him on the Maddox campaign and getting played by Dan. And it was so funny when he's sort of down and out and he wants his mum to try and call his uncle, because we learn that's how Jonah, who is just useless, even gets these jobs in the first place. It's because of the votes that his uncle can get. And in his house, there's this giant painting of Jonah when he was young. And I thought that was so good. They didn't point to it. They didn't reference the painting. But just that picture, giant painting of Jonah in the background, I thought was really, really funny.
Yeah. One of my favourite episodes. Well, I really loved when Mike had the wedding. Mike got married this season.
Yeah. Mike and his wife were funny together.
Yeah. And they had the phones in a fishbowl policy. And how much disdain everyone has for that. Like, because I could, like, now they're in politics, right?
Yeah.
Like, so their phone, like, and their phones are very important, their BlackBerrys. Like, they're working for the vice president. Like, if something goes down with the president or whatever, they need to be able to get onto their phones, right? They can't really be not good. But I feel like if I was at a wedding today, or I am going to a wedding later today. If at this wedding today they asked us to put our phones in a fishbowl because they didn't want us having our phones all wedding, I don't know if it would go down very well.
No, especially the wedding you're going to. I'll just be having to be on Facebook or Twitter trying to get through that debacle.
Yes. So, couldn't have my phone, I'd probably just leave.
That's probably to prevent you from leaving.
The phone thing.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, no, I've got to wait till the end of the bloody wedding now. They've got my phone.
Yeah. But it is funny because something does go down at that wedding and they then all do go on their phone. Like, they all just, like, throw the charade away and all dive into the fishbowl to get their phones back.
So this sort of culminates with a bit of a twist towards the end of the season. This was, I guess, was a spoiler we were mentioning, that the president decides not only is he not going to run, he is actually going to resign before the election even comes around.
Huge.
The First Lady has attempted to end her own life, and that's not off limits for the team. The team thinks, well, if I was married to that guy, I'd kill myself too.
Yeah. Now, I know we've never found out who the president is, right?
Yeah.
That's never been revealed on the show. We just know it's a man, right?
Mm.
I think I figured it out.
I think I cracked who it is. Breaking news. This is the kind of thing you'd not want your phone in a fishbowl for. Who do you think it is?
Could it perhaps be President Walker from House of Cards?
Hey. Well, we know things were a bit of a struggle for him.
Yeah, he had family problems.
I would like to see the character of Frank Underwood in Veep, actually.
Yeah. Do you reckon he would just run the tables, like he'd just be manipulating everyone, or he would just get really, really frustrated?
Oh, I do not think anyone in Veep is a remote match for Frank Underwood. I think Selena would be working at In-N-Out within 2 weeks.
Yeah. I would just love to see, like, Dan to go and meet with Frank Underwood too.
He would just be like, "You are my idol. You are literally God. I pledge my soul and future to you."
Yeah. Frank could, like, murder everyone by the end of, like, one episode. But yeah, anyway, we finally get to sort of end of the campaign. There's a debate. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the debate episode is pretty entertaining. It would seem like Selena should have it in the bag, really. I don't think any of the contenders are that strong. And it seems like the leader is the damn baseball manager.
I think that's reflective of the debate system in America, where the candidate who doesn't have much of a chance can perform quite well on those debates because they don't have much to lose and they're a bit more like of an underdog. Like, that sort of happened in the Republican race with Herman Cain. Like, you know, he all of a sudden, like, just said something that sounds sort of half reasonable or interesting, and, like, he all of a sudden was leading the polls the next week.
It sounds like if you don't sweat on anything, you don't forget any of your own policies, and you don't forget the name of someone that's asking you a question and then get in this circular rant about poor people falling into holes, you will probably be the best person in the debate.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But I think we're gearing up for a Selena Chung showdown. I think he's, like, surely the most, like, threatening competitor she has.
Yeah, Chung's been in the show the longest.
He's a war hero.
Really? I don't remember him saying that. It's an interesting spot because the president resigns and Selena, as the VP, gets to become president. And that's very funny, and I guess I'd say it's a sort of original scene. It had a very interesting tone where she and Gary are just laughing maniacally in the bathroom.
And then he gets a nosebleed.
And Kent comes in and just thinks, this is it. This is the start of a presidency. So after that, she now has to try and win this campaign, this election, but now she's doing it as the president. And it sort of just ends. I thought it built to something really interesting, but then was like, nah, actually, we're going to finish all of that next season.
A bit of the Game of Thrones syndrome, perhaps? Like something, you know, the big interesting setup at the end of episode 9 and then a bit of a, like, you know, epilogue, sort of slow wind down to build you into the next season.
So we'll have to wait till season 4 to see whether Selena remains president. So now it's time to give our review on Silicon Valley. We'll save our screen verdict ratings for the both of them till the end. Ooh. Ooh. You guys can make your predictions now on what you think our scores will be based on those reviews.
Mm.
Well, Silicon Valley, we've given you the setup. So the main character, Richard, comes up with this idea of Pied Piper, and it's a thing where you can put your music into the program, and it tells you whether you've something similar is copyrighted or something. But basically, in doing so, he stumbled across code or method of compression. So in order to do that so quickly, he needs to be able to take all these songs and reduce the size. But if you could do that, you could do that for anything, for videos, for information, and that would be beneficial to people all over the world if you could compress the size of files so easily, if it's lossless compression. So this kind of catapults him into the world of startups. He gets two offers. One to be bought out for $10 million, or one for 10% of the company and I think $250,000, but that guy will help build the company up, share his knowledge, and that could you could end up being a billion-dollar company, and you'd feel bad, stupid for selling it for $10 million.
What would you have done?
$10 million's a lot. I enjoy some of the finer things in life, but I wouldn't say I'm an excessive person. Do I really need more than $10 million? Like, what's the difference between $10 million and $100 million? Is it really that much? Well, it's $90 million. That's a lot of money. There's a big difference. But in terms of what I would do with my life, I guarantee 10 mil is looking pretty good.
Yeah. I sort of agree. Like, I sort of like, I'm happy with $10 million. Like, if it was $1 million or, like, you know, the $300,000 startup money or whatever, maybe. But I think $10 million, I could do everything I ever wanted to do.
You would, you'd always wonder, though. I don't know if this is a real story, but I think Ari Gold tells this story in Entourage where the starter of Victoria's Secret sold the company for $1 million. And within 3 years, it was a billion-dollar company, and he ended up killing himself.
Yeah.
And I think the doctor that Richard is sharing his anxiety with shares with him a similar story.
Yeah.
He was quite funny, that doctor.
Yeah.
We don't want to spoil too much because it's a new season. But basically, he goes on this journey of trying to build this company, Pied Piper. And there are people trying to do similar compression things that are competing with him. And he's living with a bunch of people that he brings on board. They're all part of the Pied Piper team. And there is sort of a story for the season, but as it is as much about that, it's also just about these dudes ripping on each other who also just happen to be nerds.
Yeah. So he's got the partner, or like his friend who owns the place where he lives. And at first, also, this guy's a bit of a moocher, a bit of a douchey guy. But he ends up bringing quite a bit to the table in terms of being able to sort of present ideas and things. And by the end of the season, I'm pretty on board with them working together.
Yeah, Ehrlich at first seems almost like an obstacle for Richard. But within a few episodes, you're like, oh, no, actually, he's the one that's helping Richard more than anyone.
Yeah. And then they've got, I forget his name, but little, like, the stick inset guy. What's he, from In the Loop?
Oh, yeah, and The Office. He's great.
Is it offensive to call him the stick inset guy? I feel like someone calls him that in the Loop or The Office or something. Probably doesn't mean it's not offensive, but it means I'm, like, referencing that rather than, like, calling him a name.
Well, I think they call him Jared, even though that's not even his real name. He just gets called that by someone at Hooli and it sticks.
And I love him. He's so funny.
He's great. I think he's a really good actor.
And there's two other guys that work for him, like the Indian guy and the guy with a beard or something, and they're sort of like, yeah, like making up the numbers.
Yeah, they kind of hate each other. The banter with those characters is usually between each other. They're always competing. And then Big Head.
Oh, that guy. I forgot about that guy, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be more of an important character, but he just kind of hangs around.
Obviously, every now and then. He's sort of all right, too. Like, him and those other two, they sort of, like, make up the numbers well, but no, I'm not too excited about any of them.
So I guess the dynamic between these characters, the dialogue and so forth, I guess is really the key element to the show. Do you enjoy watching these characters? Do you find them entertaining?
After the first episode, I thought, probably I won't. But I actually do. I actually did after a while. Sort of grew to enjoy watching them on Silicon Valley. The main guy's interesting. Because part of me finds him, like, really grating to watch. But part of me's also pretty interested with him and sort of wanting him to do well. Like, I've sort of got empathy for him, but also I'm annoyed by him. Maybe that's sort of what they're going for. Because I feel like, you know, probably Mark Zuckerberg's a bit of, like, a douche, but he's also, you know, everyone loves Facebook, so that's sort of cool. Like, I don't know, like...
I need to have, like, a list of actor or actress names that you've added the letter N to that don't have an N in them? Mark Zuckerberg, Rashida Jones. If any of our screen burning devotees want to add that up for us, that would be great. I agree with you about the main character. At first, I thought it's kind of interesting. Normally, we have these people play, you know, in air quotes, nerds or whatever. But really, they're just a little bit awkward, and it's kind of likable or cute or whatever. And you think in real life they'd actually still be kind of popular. This guy is really awkward, like properly, and he doesn't really grow. It's not like he comes out of his shell or anything. He just is like really nerdy all the time, and I think that kind of hurts the show a bit because he's a bit bland. He's kind of the lead of the show, and you don't really have a personality in that role as the lead. Like, he's very passive. I'm really glad I grew to like Ehrlich, because I actually think he becomes the most important character in the show.
Yeah, that's good. And obviously there's also the one chick in the show that we know is going to sleep with the lead at some point, if not this season, then a future season. Her boss is pretty funny.
Yeah, sort of the two rich bosses that are sort of rivals, I find them kind of funny, and especially her boss. He's very strange. He's great. But as a team, I like them more. I think the dialogue, them ripping on each other, they're generally pretty funny. I'd compare it to maybe Workaholics. There's something that usually makes you laugh each episode. Never consistently great, but I'm always thinking, yeah, these guys are entertaining. And on top of that, something I like about the show is it does seem quite believable. I feel like these people do know the area, they do know Palo Alto, they do know the startups. When they talk about the technology, it doesn't seem forced, like, hey, we know what's going on with technology, but it's also sort of providing enough detail to sort of create the world.
Here's the thing with these nerds. There's times when they're talking about stuff and I've got no idea what they're talking about, which to me suggests they do know what they're talking about. Whereas, like, compared to a show like The Big Bang Theory, these are meant to be guys who are a lot nerdier and smarter than me. I understand every single thing they say on that show. Like, none of it's above me, so it makes it seem less believable. Because I'm like, well, I get all these references, so I get what they're talking about. They're probably not really that smart. But in this show, I don't get what they're talking about all the time. So I'm like, oh, this is good. They must know what they're talking about. They must know about computers, because this is above my pay grade.
There's this thing that they refer to in the show as a number of being able to represent, I guess, the efficiency of the compression, called the Weissman score. And you know that it sounds believable when you put Weissman score into Google. There are a million things that come up for what is the Weissman score? How do they calculate the Weissman score? Who is Weissman? Is this a real thing? Because I actually wondered whether it was real.
Is it real?
It isn't. But it made you think, the show made you think it could be.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, there were people debating the maths, the formula for that, into some very great detail in a forum that I came across. So people are getting invested in the fictional programming being used in this show. So we didn't give away too much about Silicon Valley because it's a new show. So I think it's time to move on to our screen verdicts to decide, to determine the winner. Who will walk away with the belt of the best HBO comedy on TV?
I'm nervous.
Matt, what's your screen verdict rating for Silicon Valley Season 1?
I actually thought I wouldn't like Silicon Valley when I heard about it. I was a bit like, okay, just a bunch of young guys making money, living the LA life, but in a slightly nerdier way than Entourage. It was pretty funny. Like, they got some good characters, they got a good story. It's something a bit different. Like, it wasn't quite as similar to other shows as I was expecting it to be, so it's something a bit different, which I liked. And, yeah, it's a pretty funny show. Not my favourite show, not an amazing show, but I think fairly sort of consistent in terms of me enjoying watching it. And, yeah, I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10.
7.5. Decent score. Will it be a winning one? I'm going to say I enjoy watching Silicon Valley. I think it's generally pretty humorous, and I think they've done a good job of creating a world and a scene that you're pretty interested in. I don't think it really goes anywhere with the story. It kind of builds, but doesn't go anywhere amazing. And it's just a little inconsistent. It's like, it's consistently watchable, but never consistently great. But I thought the end of the season was fairly satisfying. So I'll be watching season two. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. So that's quite a good for the showdown, because it means there's room for Veep to do better, but plenty of room for Veep to do worse.
Yeah, we'll get one of the Screen Verdict interns to calculate what those two scores add up to, what Veep needs to beat in order to retain the belt.
Do you want that? Do you want them to get that to us before we give Veep the score? Or
yeah, I think the listeners want to know what the score to beat is.
One of them's bringing it to me. That's, oh yeah, thanks very much. That's 14 and a half out of 20.
14
and a half. A Weissman of 14.5. Let's go with Veep. Do you want me to give my Veep review?
Sure.
Loved Veep. It was a great season. I love all the seasons of Veep. I've been rewatching Veep season one, and that's just so good. Like, I love the characters, it's funny, I really thought the story went in a good way, love the twist at the end of it. There's just stuff in Veep that you get, like, I forgot to say this quote before, so to say it now, when they're debating abortion, and what Selena's position should be on abortion, and Dan just, like, goes to Selena, I love abortion, but I will hate it if you want me to. It was so funny. There's no better comedy on TV for mine. I think it's just incredible. I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10.
Whoa. Okay. I love the power. I mean, really, I could just give this whatever I want in order to determine who wins. But I'm going to try and remain objective. Put it in a vault. Season 3 of Veep. I think the quality of the writing has been very consistent. It's maintained that great Veep level of humor. I think this season has perhaps been the best in terms of the story. This has been the one I've most wanted to watch the next episode each time it's finished. And I think there have been some particularly great moments from my favorite characters like Dan and Jonah. I think the show's always getting better. I thought it was a teeny bit disappointing at the very end, but not got too many complaints from a great season of Veep. I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. Can we get on that quickly, interns? We want to see who wins the showdown. 16. Okay. You're bringing the scores back to me right now as we speak. Thanks, Larry. The score is done now. Can you write that down a bit clearer? Thank you.
You're trying to get a head start on the score there, Matt.
18 out of 20.
18, that's monstrous. I think that was one of the best combined scores that we've had. But what can you expect from the champion? Veep proves why it's the belt holder of Screen Verdict's HBO Comedy Showdown.
So, housekeeping, Jonathan. I've got to be at a wedding in 9 minutes and I'm still in my pajamas.
I think that's a good housekeeping as we could have done. So
should I try to steal something from the wedding reception or something?
What would the Screen Verdict listeners like you to bring back?
I don't know. Yeah, how about this? I try to steal something from the reception and we can make it a prize for our next podcast competition.
That'll be a hot item, like hot in the sense that it was stolen.
Yeah, that would be good. We'll try to get it. We'll try to get that off the your next podcast. A Game of Thrones podcast next time, I think.
It's a biggie. Heavy hitters back to back.
Yeah, and very look, much looking forward to it. We didn't get the Game of Thrones one up now because I accidentally slept in this morning. Jonathan patiently waiting at his podcast machine for me to wake up. So I am just publicly very sorry, Jonathan.
Like the baseball manager getting ahead of the story, you decided to confess publicly so I couldn't use it against you.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
I'm a fallen man, and now I'm redeemed, I don't know, on a redemption part, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, so I better get to this wedding. It's going to be great.
Try saying that with a straight face.
It's hopefully going to be fun. Yeah, you know how some weddings you're looking forward to and others are a bit more meh. But, you know, like when Chris and Jess got... Remember Jess from our podcast?
Of course. Jess Jones podcast guest.
Yeah, lovely wedding. That was really, really happy day.
Yes, we'll come back to us next week with your review of the wedding, Matt. Give it a screen verdict rating.
Well, it might not be the only wedding we're reviewing in our Game of Thrones podcast.
Hey.
Feel like it might be the least happy of the two.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. Hope you guys are too.
By the way, I'm not referring to the red wedding. I'm not saying this is going to be sadder than the red wedding. It's about the wedding from season four of Game of Thrones.
You describe some weddings as meh. Might be a little sadder than meh if it's worse than the red wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
Our thoughts and prayers and hopes and all of that go out with you. We'll have our fingers crossed that you come back and we see you next week.
Well, thanks, Van. I'm 5 minutes away now, so have a good one, and we'll be in touch soon.
All right. See you next week.
Okay. Bye.